Money Control has been extensively covering all the news stories in the run-up to Budget 2020. We will continue to present the biggest and best stories before and after the budget with the help of top economists, experts and analysts. Stay tuned to moneycontrol.com or download the app now. Hello and welcome. You're listening to Budget 2020 podcast on Money Control. I'm Sakshi Batra and with me is Gaurav Chaudhary, Deputy Executive Editor of Money Control. And we're going to be discussing about the large-scale reforms and the measures that the government should take in the upcoming budget to put the economy back on high growth path. Thanks a lot for joining in, Gaurav. Let me start by asking you that even though we've seen the government recently announce several steps to buck up the economy, including the corporate tax rate cuts, the problem of the economy may not be yet resolved in the same may not boost the demand at the micro level. So do you really expect any further reforms on the tax front to kickstart demand?
Yes, obviously. And there's a lot of expectations riding high on this budget that the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman is actually going to overhaul the individual income tax regime in India. In fact, in August last year, a special committee formed to recommend changes in Indian income tax laws and rules had submitted its report. That report is long overdue for implementation. A part of it has already been implemented, we believe, when the government announced the cut in corporate income tax rates in September last year. But the large part of which will effectively benefit the middle and salaried class pertains to individual income tax, which the Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman is expected to announce on February 1, 2020. There's a lot of expectations also riding on reforms for taxes in the corporate side, which are still not yet been implemented. While the headline corporate income tax rate has been brought down, there is expectation that the government will actually going to abolish long-term capital gains tax under the condition that the definition of long-term will be changed to 2 years. That is, those who stay invested in Indian equities for 2 years will not be subjected to long-term capital gains tax.
Right.
This is something that the markets will clearly love. Likewise, there is expectation that the dividend distribution tax will be abolished from the company side, and it will be made applicable at the hands of the recipient of the dividend, which will also bring down the effective rate of taxation so far as companies, profitable companies are concerned. So these are tax reform measures that the government, that people are expecting that the finance minister is going to announce. And I think it's about time that the government does it, because while the supply side has been addressed to some extent, right, both from the monetary policy side as well as from the cut in the corporate income tax side, demand, which is the stoking demand, which is the critical problem of the Indian economy currently, needs a leg up, and that can come only when people have more money in their hands.
Absolutely. Now, apart from this, Gaurav, the growth engines of the economy, if you talk about manufacturing and also the agricultural sectors, they're both struggling as deceleration has been most pronounced in these sectors. Mm. How can the upcoming budget really help revive growth in these sectors?
So far as manufacturing is concerned, clearly it has a strong correlation with demand. So if sales pick up because people have more money to spend, and once the consumer spending picks up, then a manufacturing sector will start picking up, because the corporate income tax rate for manufacturing, so particularly new manufacturing companies, have already been brought down to about effective rate of 17%, and we expect that the government might also extend it to services companies. For new companies set up in the services sector could also be subject to a lower tax rate of effective rate of 17%. But that is something that we have to wait until February 1 for the finance minister to see what the finance minister announces. But manufacturing sector clearly will pick up once consumer spending picks up, and consumer spending will pick up when people have more money in their hands through tax breaks, etc. The agriculture sector clearly is a problem area, and India has been trying to deal with, successive governments have been trying to deal with the structural problems that continue to persist in Indian agriculture, and the problems are complex. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of a solution that we are looking at, but certain things that we expect the government might do is to bring about changes in existing laws which have been found to be extremely restrictive and goes against the interest of farmers. Say, for instance, we expect the government to announce proposed changes in the Essential Commodities Act, removing restrictions so that merchants or traders can go and buy more in bulk from farmers, which gives them more price. What it will do is eventually, if that restriction goes away and merchants can go and buy from farmers in bulk and in greater quantities, that will prevent situations where in times of bumper harvests, or when there is a glut, we have seen where farmers go and dump their produce at throwaway prices in wholesale mandis. Now, if merchants are allowed to buy more and, you know, stock more, yeah, then that's going to give a better price to farmers, which raises their income. So that kind of is an attempt to shift the terms of trade in favor of the farmers. The whole idea is to shift the terms of trade in favor of farmers, in the sense that what farmers buy and what farmers get, that their income should they should not be paying more for what they're buying than what they're earning for what they're selling.
Absolutely.
So that is one thing that we're expecting. We're also expecting that the government is going to announce collectivization of farmers, in the sense that they'll be allowed to set up farmer producer organizations, which is going to give them scale and also give them more pricing power. There'll be some rural warehousing facilities that are being talked about, and also there are special e-commerce portals that the government could announce for selling organic farming directly to consumers.
Absolutely. Now, perhaps the biggest reform, or one of the biggest reforms needed at this hour, is also to create jobs and opportunities of employment. Gaurav, what do you think? What kind of reforms should the government be looking at to change the current kind of unemployment scenario that we are seeing?
Yeah, so that is the biggest long-run question that has been afflicting the Indian economy, the central long-run question, rather, that has been afflicting the economy. And how do you create opportunities for the armies of young hopefuls that are joining the queue of job seekers every year? And they're about 12 million people join the queue of hopefuls every year. Where do you get the opportunities for them, and where do you get the jobs for them, and how do you train them and skill them to make them more relevant in the current job market and given the technology scenario? So one way of doing that, there are two kinds of jobs. One are skilled jobs, the other are semi-skilled and unskilled jobs. We have to do, India is in a peculiar situation, and we have to deal with both. So far as skilled and semi-skilled and unskilled jobs are concerned, the quickest way to do that is to engineer some kind of a revival in the real estate and construction sectors. If more roads and highways are built, or if there's more economic activity that goes on in real estate projects, these two sectors have the quickest absorption capacity of semi-skilled and unskilled laborers. And that is something that the government probably will be looking at. What we hear is that the government is going to come out with some kind of a relief program for NBFCs, which is the lifeblood of the real estate sector so far as liquidity is concerned. And once the NBFC sector is actually, you know, gets on its feet, that is, to a very large extent, that should help solve the liquidity problems that is affecting the real estate sector. And once activity comes back, and once construction takes big space in highways and roads, that's going to absorb, it's going to create jobs for skilled and semi-skilled and unskilled laborers, because these two sectors have a higher propensity to create jobs compared to other sectors.
Right. Now, apart from this, Gaurav, what reforms are needed to aid the growth in the MSME or the startup sectors, which are again big contributors to employment generation?
Correct. So MSMEs, just to put things in perspective, MSMEs is probably, they are not headline grabbing, but they actually contribute 45% of India's GDP. So it's the lifeblood of the Indian manufacturing sector. Micro, small and medium enterprises are the ones that need support, are the ones that needs to be revived. So the revival of the Indian economy, particularly the manufacturing sector, is critically dependent on how the MSME sector functions or perform. And if the MSME sector is not creating jobs, if factories are small and tiny units peppered across the length and breadth of the country, aren't creating enough jobs, or there is a vibrant activity in these units, it shows up in the broader economy. I mean, that is something that we expect the government is going to do, particularly in both in terms of easier credit, as well as also creating appropriate policy prescriptions for them.
Right. And lastly, Gaurav, one more pain point that exists in the country is that investments, both private and public, have been quite sluggish. So what reforms are needed to really kickstart this investment cycle now?
So there are two kinds of investment. One, investment in the Indian equity markets. And I think that would come from if what is being expected in both in LTCG and dividend distribution tax, and if those two things come about as expected, then I think investment in Indian equity markets will clearly show a lot of more bullishness. It's already very bullish. And this bullishness is driven by expectations. And if those expectations actually get realized, then that bullishness is only going to get more pronounced. But the more important thing here to look at is what happens to investment in the physical sense, in the real sense. And investment in the real sense would mean that companies will have to start adding capacity lines. And that again will come with a lag effect. If demand picks up, people start spending money, people start go out and buying cars, people feel more confident about their future income. That is going to create additional demand. And that additional demand, if it persists for a certain period of time, is going to, you know, is going to prompt companies to spend more in, you know, adding additional capacity lines to cater to this additional demand. That is when investment will start picking up, and that is not going to happen immediately. But if income tax breaks as expected in the individual tax funds comes about, and people feel confident about a future income, and there is economic activity that continues to take place in the MSME sectors, then I think in about 2 to 3 quarters, investment in the real sense will start picking up.
All right. Thanks a lot, Gaurav, for sharing all these insights with us. And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of podcast. Many thanks for listening to us.